Welcome. You're listening to the Board Games and Beer Podcast. Welcome back to the Board Game and Beer Podcast, Episode 8. I am your host, Vel, and joining me once again is my co-host, Morgan. How are you, Morgan?
I'm doing great. How about you?
No, I'm a little tired. I think we both are. I mean, you can probably talk about this here while we say what's happening with you, but I think we're both kind of suffering from a little bit of, tiredness and swarms of bugs and all kinds of other fun things. So anyway,
and the chronic too many games, too little time.
Yes, that would certainly fit in there. I would also like to mention that our theme was conducted by the astonishing Andrew Allen, who can be found at Keys with Soul. We throw that in our show notes. So, Morgan, what has been happening to you this last week? I mean, you can go personal if you want, game-wise. Mix them, tie them together, whatever.
I'm getting ready to change jobs. I start my new 8-to-5 Monday to Friday fancy big girl job on Monday. I'm excited.
Oh, nice.
Beyond that, I've had a lot of good gaming that I've gotten in. I've gotten to play some old favorites. I got a game of Sulcan in last Thursday that really made my night. Gotten to play some new stuff, more Dungeon Pets, of course. I got to try out Fresco, which really charmed me. And Havoc and Hijinks, I guess, would be the most recent game I've played.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. And now you just got something in the mail from something
from
the Kickstarter, so you need to maybe talk about that.
Yeah. Actually, I got two Kickstarters over the last kind of week and a half. Drop in. I got Fantasy Frontier from Michael Coe at Gamelin Games.
Cool.
And of course Havoc and Hijinks from Epic Slant Press. Super excited about both of those. They're both actually kind of living in the same space because we want to get games of both of them in as soon as possible.
So you actually haven't tried either one of them, or no?
I've tried Havoc and Hijinks.
Okay, so but you haven't played the other one yet.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to get Fantasy Frontier to the table. It wouldn't have worked where we were playing Saturday night because we were out at Shawnee Mission Park for Theater in the Park. So that has to be very portable, very light, you know, kind of easy to play, easy to clean up games before the show starts. So.
Sweet. Oh, wow. You got a lot of excitement coming your way. I don't really have lots of fun. I don't have any Kickstarters. Actually, I am waiting for one. I know it's any time, but I'm waiting for Fief.
I don't know if that's shipped yet or not.
Yeah, I remember that was like back in February or something like that. It looked really cool, and I know that's on my list. That is my supposedly quickest one coming in. I've got a couple other ones actually that are getting several this summer. I mean, Evolve and Linked, I believe, are the other two that are kind of sitting there too. Those are the three that are closest to getting into my hands. You have a little one up on me. Yeah, I did see your little Twitter shot of your game. A couple other people did the same thing. They sound like they're pretty excited about it. So you got to let me know how that plays because it looks really interesting to me actually.
So, which one?
both of them do actually. I don't think you took any picture of the Havoc one, but
I sent out Havoc and Hijinks. I don't remember if I sent out. Yeah, I guess I did send out a shot of. Fantasy Frontier.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I remember that one. Yep, I remember it was, you know, because you could see the box and you just literally opened it and I snapped a picture of it.
That is one dead sexy box, I might add.
Yeah, it does. It does look cool. It does look really cool. Yep, more stuff to keep us busy as if we don't have enough things to do as it is. So, yeah. So that's kind of what's happened with you, huh?
Yeah, what's up on your corner of the world there?
Well, you know, we've got our RageCon, and we'll talk about that here momentarily. We've got that coming up. So I think a lot of people are not coming to some of our stuff as much. I mean, they are, but I think they're kind of preparing themselves for, you know, an overindulgence in gaming here next weekend. So, but we did a couple of things that kind of stick out in my mind over this last week. Played some X-Wing again. On Friday night. I'm really getting into that. I like that game. I think Mike, who runs that, and I think he's kind of glad he's found somebody that's kind of into it like he is. And not playing really well lately. I mean, he tends to whoop my butt You know, I'm not all the time, but, you know, I've done okay against him, and I moved a lot better, and it just kind of came down to die rolls and that kind of stuff's fun. But I'm trying to, he goes, well, do you want to play attack wing? And I go, yeah, we need to do that, because they keep bringing it, and I've been kind of showing it to him. So I think I'll get him to cave. And just as a side note, the one thing, I don't know if you saw it, but God, that looks freaking cool, is the D&D attack wing that's coming out. They released
it. I saw that. I'm actually holding off on getting into any of the Attack Wing games and holding out for D&D because I know I'm going to spend money on it anyway.
Right. Right. Well, that's the one I was talking about. Somebody released a picture of one of the dragons.
Looks so awesome.
That looks so cool. I'm so stoked for that. I don't know what the release date on that. I don't know why seemed to me I was like reading something. Is it in the fall, or do they have a release date on that or not? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I don't remember why I keep thinking October, but I could be
right.
Wrong.
That sounds about right. I don't know why I read something like that too. So pretty stoked for that. So anyway, I played that on Friday. Played some games yesterday. I'll talk about that when I'm going this really weird order here. So Friday, Saturday, then I'm going to jump back to next week, the last weekend. So it's really odd order. But we played this game called Camel Up.
That's one. Oh.
It was fun. I thought it was really cool. It's kind of simple. It's kind of a fun little party game. Pretty easy to learn. Goes really fast. Less than 30 minutes. It's really interesting. If you look on the box, the way they had it, we got this kind of debate about this yesterday. It was really funny after we got done playing. We're like, well, what's the name of the game? Is it Camel Up or Camel Cup? Because they made the letter C, they made it really big, and it says camel, and then right underneath it, they put the word, you know, up. But the C is bumping right up against it, so it looks like Camel Cup. So we had this thing, and then we're like, we're looking in the rule book and everything. I go, well, no, it's just Camel Up. But I go, I was kind of on the fence where, you know, it's like really a big deal. It's funny, we're fighting over what it says on the box. But it was just like, I was calling more. I said, you know, the way they got that written, to me, it looks like Camel Cup. You know? But no, quite fun. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but I'll just give a little brief synopsis of the game. I thought it was pretty cool. It's a camel race. It has some really, really fun little mechanic stuff in it, and they basically just race around the board. On your turn, you have four things you can do. You get a set of cards, and you can bet, you can throw down one of the cards, and they're by the colors of the camels. So there's like five different colored camels. It was a white one, a blue one, a green one, an orange one, and a yellow one. So you got the five camels, and they all, you do this thing to like set their starting point first. But then on your turn, basically what you do is you're trying to see who wins. So you get these cards. You can bet on who you think is going to lose, who's going to win. You can play those at any time during the game. You can pick up this card to get one of the camels to move. And you basically start with money. So it winds up, you know, whoever has the most money at the end wins. And then you have these little tiles that you can place on the board. If the camel lands on it, it does one of two things. You can use either side, and you can move them at any point later in the game when it comes to your turn. One of them moves the camel back a space. One of them moves it forward a space. But you can't have them like next to the same spot with somebody. So you get to do one of those four things every turn, and then, so they call that a leg. And then once the leg's done, you kind of score whatever you have. You get your money, and then you go to the next one. It's the first camel that crosses the finish line wins. But here's the fun mechanic with it. It comes to this little pyramid that you put together, and they put like an elastic band on it, and it has like a little sliding door that the band keeps closed. So what you do if you pick the thing where I want to move the camel, you automatically get a dollar for doing that. So it's a safe play. You're not going to lose anything for it. But then what you do is you flip the pyramid upside down. You push the little trapdoor, and one of the dice drops out. And then so it's totally random. So you don't know which one is. And whatever color die it is, it's either a one, two, or three. And then that's what you move the camel. It was actually a pretty fun little game. It had some neat little mechanics and how to bet. And then the camels stack on top of each other. So, you know, depending on where they're sitting, the whole stack of camels move, and then like this one gets shifted, and they have some little rules with stuff like that. And it was kind of fun trying to predict what would happen. But you could see it was happening. Like, one of them got super far behind, then everybody's betting, well, I know that one's going to lose. And then you get money at the end. But it was a fun, cool little fun game. And I think it plays up to like 8.
Oh, so, that's super clever.
Yeah, so I'd recommend getting that. I think I'm going to get my hands on that just because it's kind of – it's, you know, it's very across-the-board friendly. You know, I think it appeals to everybody. I mean, little kids would like it. I mean, little kids could play. You know, kids could play it. Mm-hmm. You know, adults, whatever. Good traditional board game night game, I think. And I thought that was pretty good. And I don't know what it is. I played a lot of those. Seems to me like Sahara Desert. You know, Arabian whatever kind of theme games. I don't think there's one of those I have not played that I've liked. That I have not liked, in other words. I mean, I've liked every single one of those. I don't know why. Somebody's got something with a bunch of that. That theme is really draws me now. Like, oh, this is about camels or pyramids or, you know, this or whatever. I'm like, oh, cool. I want to try that. But I haven't tried one yet that hasn't been bad.
Have you tried Kemet?
Yes. Yep. Played that one. Yep. I played that one. I like that one as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of them I've tried. There's a whole host of those that are in there. Yeah, I like that one too. And then the only other one I was going to mention too that I thought was kind of fun, a camping trip last weekend with a bunch of us in our meetup group. It was pretty fun. A little cold that weekend last Friday. You know, got a little nippy at night. But I think we wound up playing, we played Munchkin Bites and we played Werewolf. You still need more people.
Oh, those are good for camping trips.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, so all this kind of stuff. And then in the morning, I only stayed Friday, you know, late afternoon, evening. And then I left like later Saturday morning because they had some things to take care of. But they stayed up there all weekend. I think they left at like 11 o'clock on Sunday. But this one, our Jeff, our meetup leader, brought this game called Bears. I don't know if you've ever played that. It's a little dice game.
I've seen it.
Yeah, a little dice game. Great camping game. Kind of fun. You know, you just basically, it just goes to pretty involving, moves really fast. But, you know, you get a set of dice, and then it goes to each person. Then they roll their tents and bears. So you roll them out on the table, and then you roll yours. And then when you have your dice, or like there's a gun, which can shoot a bear, you got a guy running, which means you run, and he runs with one way carrying a tent, and then there's another guy in a sleeping bag, I think. And so what you do, it's kind of a dice grab. So you roll yours, and then you start matching your dice up to tents or bears. And then when it gets down to all the tents are gone or all the bears are gone, or if only tents are left or only bears are left or whatever, and you can't get any more, then you call it the word bears, and then you get points. You know, for various things. So you get a point for shooting the bear. You get a point if all the bears are gone and your guys are in sleeping bags. You always get points if you do the running thing. But I thought it was a really fun little, great camping game. I thought it was fun. And what was neat about it was only for like 4 people. But the way they had it set up, we were kind of talking. And we go, God, this would be kind of cool. But you can buy like another set, which you could play with 8.
And stack them together.
Yep, and then you could buy another set and play with 12. You could buy 4 of them, play with 16 if you want.
Huh.
But it was just, you know, kind of goofy, but actually quite fun, and actually had a little bit of strategy to it. So what I found was, like, you know, trying to grab the dice sometimes was so fast wasn't the best thing to do because you had to look and see what you had. So I started going for the safe play stuff where I was like, I'm going to try and just score points every time and not screw myself over and, like, grab a guy in a sleeping bag and there's still bears out because with that you lose points. Because the bears eat them, you know. So I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun. So anyway, that was kind of my week.
Hey, Val.
Yes.
What do bears call people in sleeping bags?
Oh, they call them they call them tacos or something, don't they?
Soft tacos.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen that before. There's actually some picture that I have that on my Twitter. I got it buried somewhere. I had to retweet that. And it's a picture of a bear, and it says the same thing. It says what do bears call, you know, people in sleeping bags, soft tacos. Yeah, I have that scene. That's awesome. Okay, so what?
It was terribly appropriate. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it was great. That was a good play there. So anyway, so we got a little winded there at the intro, but, you know, good stuff or whatever. So, Morgan, why don't we head off to On the Calendar? Okay, welcome to On the Calendar. This is what meetups are coming up and what we may be playing or doing. We'll do a real quick rundown of our latest meetups and what may be coming up, and also what cons might be coming up on the calendar as well. So for the first item we've got our Board Game Blitz that is today. So we've got a lot of people signed up for that. I just don't know how long I'm going to last, you know, some of that stuff, because I know, as I'll talk about here momentarily, that we got RageCon coming up. And I think some people, like I was mentioning earlier, are trying to back off a little bit and kind of save themselves, and because they're going to get...
Take it easy.
Yeah, they're going to get gamed to death. So we have that. So what else do we got coming up as well here?
Looks like right before RageCon on June 26th, we've got Round Tabletop Games.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how many people are going to come to that too, because I think that's the night we're supposed to start getting in there and setting some stuff up. So I've got a feeling that's going to be kind of a light evening. Okay, so the next thing we got, Learn a New Board Game on July 13th. I'm hoping I'm back by then. I don't know if I'm going to be around. I've got a lot of stuff rolling it coming at me here that I might mention here a little bit later in the show. But anyway, so we got that on the 13th. And then what else?
Comet Kingdom Open Gaming. That'd be Wednesday night, June 25th. So yep. If you really wanted to stack it all together, I guess you could do, what would that be, 5 days solid of gaming?
Yep, exactly. So I'm wondering how that's going to work too. I think those ones this week are going to be a little bit light, and to be honest with you, honestly. So I know the next one, the Comic Kingdom Open Gaming, the next one probably wouldn't be until July 5th, because I know we're not going to be doing one this coming weekend, or nobody will be there because everybody's going to be at the con. So that one's not coming up. So then what else we got? I think we finally got a date on this. So go ahead.
Traditional Game Night Plus Beer. We do finally have a date, July 25th.
Yep. So we had to cancel this, the one for this month, because we had the RageCon coming up. And then we got Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures Game on July 4th. I'm going to actually miss that one because I'm going to be, and I've talked to you about this before, I'm going to be at Nerdtacular 14 in Salt Lake with a bunch of other podcasters, and we will be playing games. And I'm just going to mention, kind of as a little mini shout out here or whatever, I really want to thank Lauren and Jamie. They sent me a copy of one of their promos or whatever, their game for Transylvania. I mean, I have my print and play, but I kind of wanted to bring something that looked a little better. So he lent me a copy there for a little bit because I'm going to run it during RageCon, which I'll talk, and I'm also going to bring that to the Nerdtacular, see if I can drum up a little bit of sales for him. So I think
that
a lot
sounds
of people,
like fun.
Oh, I think a lot of people will like that because I know there's going to be people that are going to be at that con that I personally know that did back their game, and I don't think they played it, and I guarantee I'll get them fired up. I mean, they're already getting it anyway, but at least it gives them an introduction, and then I'll pull in some other people. I can almost guarantee I'm probably going to drum up some sales for them for that one. So what else do we got there? I think you got the last two little items there.
Yep.
Rolling to the last.
We have got Arkham Horror in Reno. Do you know if there are any meetup plans for that yet?
I don't think so. I think that thing's really on a hiatus now, until probably sometime next month. I'm really mentioning at this point because of all the things we've had rolling at us. That, like I said, that one usually just fills in as kind of a filler, you know, sort of thing. So, you know, I'll have to get together with Phil and see where the heck he's got planned for that. But I don't think he's got anything in the near future as far as I know. So what else do we got there, Morgan? Go ahead.
And then up in my neck of the woods, we've got CantCon coming up in pretty much exactly a month now. That is okay. July 18th through 20th.
Okay.
And that's the Overland Park Convention Center. If you didn't get in on their fundraising campaign, it's still possible to buy an early bird pass. It's $10 off the normal 3-day pass, which would be $40. You get it for $30.
Mm-hmm.
That deal is good through July 1st.
Okay. Now, have you been to this one before? Or
I was there last year.
Oh, okay. So how big is this? I'm just kind of curious.
This one's several hundred attendees. I don't remember the exact figure from last year. I want to say it was around the realm of the 600 or 700 person.
Oh, okay.
But I may be overshooting that a bit. Okay. So.
Well, it's not super tiny, but not gargantuan either. Mm-hmm. So that might be kind of a nice size con, though, honestly.
Yeah, they've got a lot of the vendors that were there last year coming back. Okay. Of course, Greater Than Games is coming back and hanging out with us, Silver Griffin Games.
Oh, sweet.
So, yeah, a lot of fun.
Okay, so I'm just kind of curious, anything that we kind of plugged as a Kickstarter thing, is anybody like that going to be there? I mean, like Terra Nova or anybody like that?
Not that I know of right now.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that there won't be anything that they announce a little later. I know they're still kind of announcing vendors and events, and you can submit events online. Actually, I believe it's using that same Warhorn system that RageCon's using.
Right, right, right. So. Right, yeah. So, well, a lot of people using that. So, I don't know. It seems to work okay, but we just had some funny, I guess it's been just been some of the, you know, programming and putting things in kind of thing for us has been a little bit more of a challenge, and then trying to get it to work with the web page that we're using and, you know, some other stuff. Cause you know, ours is the first, you know, this is the first time we've ever done anything like this. So we're trying to do the best job we can. And I think it's going to be pretty good. So I guess that's our thing. So next weekend is our big, moment in the light, I guess, June 27th through the 29th at the Circus Casino. There's still tickets available. I actually drummed up some, people to come to that this past week. At this tech conference I was at, actually, got a couple of guys that were like, oh, cool, I'm going to come to that. And I was like, rad. So maybe that'll put me in charge of sales. Maybe not. Jeff's not going to go for that, I know. He's going to tell me to do something else, as he always does. So anyway, we still got passes for those. We got 3-day passes, 2-day passes, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to be working that. I'm also going to be running some things, so I know for two things as soon as we finalize it on the calendar, but I'm going to be running Transylvania. So hopefully we can get some drum up some more interest for that. I'm also running a game called Wrong Chemistry. And then I'm getting in on a few of the play to win ones. Like I know they're doing Manhattan Project. I really like that. We've played that a couple times. That is a fun worker placement. That's one of the better worker placements. It's one of my favorite worker placement games right now, I got to say. So we're doing that one, and what's the other one? I'm going to play – I've only played it once, but I really thought it was fun. I'm going to get in on Dominant Species again. Got a little pandemic going, and you know, got some other stuff. There's a ton of other things that are going on there. So there's plenty of room, plenty of stuff to do, and I'm hoping we get to see some people there. So anyway, anything else we want to add here for the calendar stuff?
I think that covers it for me.
Yep, I think it does to me. So we'll head off into our next segment, which is the fun stuff. How about we go into or in the pipeline? Okay, welcome to In the Pipeline. These are what new games are coming out, and one may look good or not good for that matter. What do we got in the pipeline here, Morgan?
All right, we mentioned it earlier. A lot of our Kickstarters are starting to ship out. Fantasy Frontier and Havoc and Hijinks have arrived at least in the middle of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have confirmation that Oddball Aeronauts has started to ship. Copies are surfacing everywhere. There's actually been one turn up in Japan.
Oh, cool.
So I'm hoping to see mine soon because I've been looking forward to that for months.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sweet. Cool. Yeah, I'm not in on any of those ones, so that's why I need to kind of get with you or whatever and talk to some other people and see how that's going. So what do we got ending? What's going to be ending here pretty quick?
All right. So on Kickstarter ending soon, we've got Progress, which ends in a little under 2 days. I believe it was 47 hours when I checked.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow Throne from the amazing Teal Fristo of Nothing Sacred Games ends in about 5 days. He is right at 90% of his funding goal right now. Really excited to see this game come to fruition. If you haven't checked it out, do
yep.
so.
Yep, let's get on that and help him. We'll talk about that here momentarily. Mm-hmm. We do have an interview with him that we did earlier this week that we're going to stick back in the show so people can listen to it again. What else? Yeah, go ahead.
And Roger, did you get in on Waggle Dance yet?
Nope, I have not got on in that one. That is like on my list. I will get in on that definitely, because it's like I said, I'm really on this biology, whatever you want to call it, living thing game kick right now, because Evolve and Linked, and I did March of the Ants, which looks really cool, and this looks really, really cool as well. So, no, I'm all over it. I just gotta do it. I will do it, though. I hope that makes it, though. I mean, I don't remember. I last time I checked, I think it's a little over 50%, isn't it? Or is it beyond that at this point?
Let me see if I can find it here.
Yeah, I'm curious where that one's sitting.
Okay, seriously. Oh, he's over 50%.
Okay.
He's looks like 62% funded.
Okay, cool. All right. So no, that looks like he's well on the way there. So mm-hmm. So we got that Forge War 2, which is ending in 11 days. That looks really cool. I got in on that one.
That's right. I did spend your money on that
mm-hmm.
one.
Yeah. Yeah. remember reading the tweet from the developer that too sounded like, oh, your co-host sounds really excited about that. Yes, I was. I think right after our last podcast that we just did on episode 6, I went and jumped on that bandwagon right away. So,
excellent.
Yeah. So what got off the ground this week?
All right. So stuff that has launched this week, we've got Harbor,
mm-hmm.
Which is coming from Tasty Minstrel Games. They are kicking their way through stretch goals and taking no prisoners.
Yep.
It's awesome to see them doing so well.
God, that thing just blew up on the first day, didn't it?
Didn't it?
It was just like within hours it had already funded or something, wasn't it? It was just insane.
Blinked and you missed it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was insane. Yeah. Wow. What else?
Clash Dawn of Steam has relaunched on Kickstarter this week. I'm in on that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Yeah. I've got to take a look at that.
Historia from Mage Company launched as well. That was one that people were trying to spend your money on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Oh, it's all flying out of the wallet. Yep. I'm stuck.
Almost painfully fast.
Yep. Tiny Epic Defenders, too. I've got to get in on that one as well.
Yep, and just like Tiny Epic Kingdoms, $16 for the basic level game, $24 for the deluxe. And they are, again, killing their stretch goals without mercy. So,
mm-hmm.
looking forward to another great title from Gamelan.
Mm-hmm. And then what's the last one we have there?
The last one, you said you had an Apple device. Have you ever picked up the app called Start Player?
No, haven't tried that.
Okay. So, Start Player Express actually comes from a card game, which the app was then based on, and Start Player Express does it with dice. But it's basically a way to randomize who goes first in your game.
Oh, okay. Oh, sweet.
So,
sweet.
Yeah, you roll these dice, and it has one dice that gives you a condition, like least, most, smallest, biggest, and so on. And each of those will have kind of a color associated with them.
Okay.
And then three other dice of different colors that have conditions on it.
Okay.
So if you roll least and it's colored white and the white dice says pets, it'd be the person with the least number of pets goes first.
Oh, wow. Oh, so this is just basically a thing to have people get games going. I mean, a lot of them put that in there, but that always seems mm-hmm. to be the dilemma, isn't it? It's like, well, who wants to go first? And then a lot of them are pretty good about that. They'll say, well, you know, if you've done this or, you mm-hmm. know, like Transylvania does, the last person that read a book about vampires, werewolves, or have seen a movie or something about vampires, werewolves, or zombies gets to go, you know, that kind of
mm-hmm.
thing. So that's basically all this really is then.
Yeah, it's really simple, really inexpensive. I want to say it's less than $10 to get a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives just a fun little way to start your games off that isn't, you know, what's in the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, you know, Munchkins basically says the player who goes first, and they deliberately leave out a starting condition and tell you to argue about it till you decide whoever's going
right,
first.
Right, exactly. So this is actually a physical.
Yeah, this would be. This is a little physical set of four dice. And
okay.
Let me see here.
Oh, that's cool. Oh. That's kind of a good idea. That's kind of neat.
Yep, $10 to get in on it,
right.
And $8 for every additional copy.
And you said this was an app as well, or no?
Yeah, it's okay. In the App Store as Start Player.
Oh, okay.
And that one's got about four different ways you can actually decide.
Oh, okay. So they're actually I assume mm-hmm. it's the same people doing both. That,
yep.
Both of it. Okay. So, but they're actually doing a physical
set of dice.
Physical mm-hmm. set of dice for you to do it as well. Oh, cool. Well, that sounds kind of neat. Check out the app though. The app sounds really applicable though too, because you just have that right there, and maybe I'll go in on both. Who knows? So what do we got?
Yeah, the app's awesome.
Oh, cool. I'm going to have to look at that. Sounds like a great idea. I may even get that today after we're done here. So what do we have launching this week?
All right. Launching this week that we know about, Jamie Stegmaier announced on a Twitter yesterday that he will be taking my money on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Stonemaier Games Resource Treasure Chest is launching on Monday. If you guys haven't seen the preview images for this yet, it is absolutely gorgeous. Basically, it's a way to pimp out your cube pushers.
Okay.
It's got realistic-looking resources, kind of like the special backer rewards were for Euphoria.
Okay.
So the gems actually kind of look like gems. The wood is actually got grain in it. The
wow.
stone is textured and so on. And
cool.
It is an absolutely gorgeous basically keepsake for people who play a lot of games.
Okay.
It lets you replace your basic resources with stuff that's a lot nicer. So
oh, okay.
I'll just keep the set with me whenever I have a worker placement, because those are really the ones that
It's just pieces and stuff like
that. Oh my gosh, it's amazing looking though.
Oh wow. So it's just like your... So just the little bits for all the different games. Like you have wood or sheep. Oh, I'm going to hear a lot from my game group for saying that one. Trust me, the wood thing flies around a lot.
Yep.
Stone, that's gold. For you, Phil. Yeah.
Stone, gold, bricks, ore, and gems.
Oh, cool. Like. Sweet. Oh, that's
I'll link
cool.
you a picture.
Oh, sounds cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to take a look at that. And then what's the last thing we got coming out this week as well?
And the last thing launching this week is Yardmaster Express from Crash Games.
Mm-hmm.
Yardmaster Express is loosely based on kind of the train connecting mechanic of Yardmaster that just finished funding last month.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of the big long game, Yardmaster Express is card drafting, and it can literally be played in 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Oh, it's super awesome. I got to try it at Geekway, and I had so much fun. I didn't get in nearly enough games of it.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, I'm just kind of backtracking here a little bit. So I did look at the picture of the treasure chest. God, that's cool. That's really rad.
Isn't that awesome?
I'm going to have to do that, I think, too. That's really cool looking stuff. That's awesome.
Now,
I'm just looking at the picture. Those are the only things they're going to put in there? Or is it going to be more? I'm wondering maybe through stretch goals or something they add other things. Because it looks like it's stone, like gold or whatever, and the wood mm-hmm. and the brick and... stone and gems, but are they going to add other things as well, or do you
know? I don't know. I think that's going to be something we're going to have to wait and see. I haven't seen a preview link or anything from any of Jamie and Alan's ambassadors, so I guess we'll sit back and wait for Monday and see who can be the first backer.
Right, there you go. Well, that wouldn't surprise me that would probably be some stretch goal things, wouldn't it, mm-hmm. to add other bits?
And I'll tell you, having played with the fancy tokens in Euphoria, mm-hmm. if these gold tokens are anything like the gold tokens in Euphoria,
mm-hmm.
they aren't wood painted to look like gold.
Right.
These are actual metal.
Oh, wow.
Like, they're ball bearing heavy.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Euphoria. I think I've only played that once. I think we're actually giving away at RageCon. I'm thinking about it.
I like Euphoria.
Yeah, I do too. Is that the one with I'm trying to remember.
Them stupid and happy. It's got the two sliders for how much your people know and how happy they are.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then you have the different little places you can go. It's got the worker placement stuff. Like you have mm-hmm. the cloud thing and whatever. Yeah, it's a pretty cool little game. I played that once. Actually, we're doing a play to win for that. At RageCon, we actually have a couple copies of that to give away. So if you haven't tried that, yeah, I do remember. I have played that once. I do like that game. That was pretty fun. Cool little kind of neat mechanics.
I want to come play to win Euphoria.
Yep. Well,
Lauren and Jamie have it, so I can't justify buying it because if I'm going to have enough players to play it, normally I'm down there with them.
Right.
But I want a copy in my collection.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, we've got, we can always come out. We still got a week to come to ours. Probably have a pretty good chance of, maybe winning that if you wanted it that bad. So
got to find a very cheap plane ticket if I'm doing that.
Right. Or you could, you know, start driving or riding a bike if you want. You still have time to make it here. It's not that far. So, and the weather's nice and stuff. I mean, I think for the most part, I know it's nice here. So anyway, so any other things we got to discuss there on the pipeline?
I think that covers what I've got as far as Kickstarters go. Do you have anything else coming up?
Nope, I don't think so. Sounds pretty good to me. I mean, just like I said, I think we mentioned earlier in the show, just waiting for some stuff to get into my hands. But so it looks like some cool stuff coming our way and so on. Yeah, that treasure chest thing looks pretty cool. God, more stuff I'm going to get in on. I know I've got a couple more. I'm already in on a few of those as it is. And then one of them I know I need to get in on. So, I mean, the ending soon ones, I've got almost my hands in every single one of those. So, yeah, I've got this huge list of stuff that's coming. So, anyway, cool. So, anyway, that will wrap that up. So, why don't we head off into our interview segment?
All right. Sounds great.
Okay, so what we're going to do, we did do an interview this week, and we're going to stick it back into the show for this week so you can get a listen to it. I know some people already have it. I thought it would fit really well with us again. Give Teal Fristo for Shadow Throne. Give him a little bit more of a plug. So if you did not get a chance to listen to that interview, we are going to do a fun 2-for-1 replay for you this time. So anyway, we'll go ahead and launch into that interview, and we'll be back at the end of that. We have a special interview this evening with Teal Fristo from Nothing Sacred Games, and I am also joined by my co-host Morgan. Welcome, both of you. How are you both doing this evening?
Hi, it's great to be here. I'm doing quite good.
And how about you, Morgan?
Hey, I'm great. Glad to have you on the show, Teal.
Thanks for having me here.
Teal, you're currently running a Kickstarter for a game called Shadow Throne. It's doing very well. Looks like you're almost at $9,000 out of the 12.5 goal as we speak tonight, with about 11 days left. Would you like to give our listeners a brief rundown of the game in case they haven't really heard about it or clicked on the page yet?
Sure, yeah. So Shadow Throne is a card drafting game of Machiavellian intrigue. Basically, the story behind it is you've got three different factions that are fighting this war, but the players are members of a secret society, and they're not on any particular side. So they're basically manipulating these different sides for personal benefit. They're trying to get the most influence as the war goes on. So as far as how the game works, it's basically a series of hands, and each hand represents a battle in the war that's going on. And it starts off with players drafting cards, which is them sort of taking control over these different characters. And after that, the players get to play cards to determine which of the three sides wins that particular battle that's being fought. And then players who've played cards of the winning side get to collect points. It's really quick, really really easy to pick up, and you just kind of do that until somebody's earned enough influence, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's a pretty quick play game. So what are you talking about time wise here? Like 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, under an hour, or?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely under an hour. Usually around 30 minutes. Sometimes it can be a little bit longer than that. Mm-hmm. The game usually lasts about four hands, mm-hmm. and each hand is almost always under 10 minutes. So, yeah, it's pretty quick.
Right.
Once you get used to it, it goes really fast. You can play several games in the night easy. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be a lot of games now, in my opinion, are kind of going in this under an hour stuff, which used to be not really appealing to me, but now I'm really getting drawn to that kind of game where it's fast to pick it up and play, because sitting there going through a bunch of rules, I don't mind those kind of games sometimes, but it just seems for most people, I think it's much more appealing to them, for a whole wide range of gamers. I mean, people that are really into it, but people that aren't into that kind of stuff, they tend to like those faster play games. So
yeah, that's been my experience as well. And in fact, the last game that I made was a game called Corporate America, and that game had like a 90-minute expected length, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I just found that was too long for a lot of people. It mm-hmm. was too long for people to play test. It was too long to get people to try it at conventions and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then when you see that on the box, it's intimidating for a lot of people.
Right, right.
So yeah, I've definitely been trying to scale back and make the games quicker and easy to fit in between other games, or be able to play multiple times in a night or whatever.
Right.
There's a lot more flexibility there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I guess the next question I got to kind of ask you is what was the inspiration behind Shadow Throne? How did it come to be? What kind of got the ball rolling for that, for the idea for this game?
Yeah, so there were kind of a few different inspirations, I guess. So thematically, it was definitely I was kind of right in the middle of reading the Game of Thrones series, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that was going through my mind the whole time.
Right.
So that was definitely a big inspiration for the sort of theme behind the game, the story, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanically, there are kind of two main inspirations. So the first is drafting games. Probably the most famous of which is Seven Wonders.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm a pretty big fan of that mechanic, and I've thought a lot about it, and I've experimented a lot with designing games using it. Mm-hmm. But I'm always interested in sort of like exploring mechanics and seeing how you can twist a common and fun one in a new way. And so that was one of the things that I was trying to do with this game, was take a solid mechanic but sort of showcase it in a new way. And then the other kind of big inspiration mechanically was Citadels, kind of a classic game of intrigue. It features drafting, but you know, I really like that game. But I felt like it was once you sort of learn the game, it can take a really long time because everybody has to think of so many different possibilities. So I was interested in sort of creating a game that creates that sort of feeling, that sort of experience that players have, but plays a little more quickly. Everybody's always doing stuff, so.
Right. Cool.
So as you've kind of grown up as a gamer and as you've been designing both in corporate America and for Shadow Thrones, do you have any games or designers in particular that have really influenced you? I know you said this one kind of drew a bit, you know, Citadels and Seven Wonders, but is there anything that's really kind of an overarching theme for you?
That's a good question. So I guess if I was to pick a designer, it would probably be Richard Garfield, which would probably be a lot of aspiring designers' choices. The designer of Magic and also like King of Tokyo and many other Android Netrunners is the most recent big one. I think that he definitely influenced a lot of people because Magic has been so influential. And also, you know, I know this happened to me, and I have a feeling it happens to a lot of designers. You kind of start out by just like tweaking existing games, and Magic is kind of like the perfect game for that. It's constantly being tweaked, and it's designed to have just nearly unlimited possibilities. So definitely coming from that background. The other thing is, I guess if I was to sort of talk about my, what I'm trying to accomplish as a designer, definitely a lot of personal interaction. So I want to make sure that all my games have a lot of interaction with the other players, and you couldn't really play them with like a computer, or you couldn't play them by yourself. So I want to make sure that everybody's decisions have a big impact on the game. And for corporate America, that came through in a lot of negotiation. So the game is almost all negotiating deals with other players. And in Shadow Throne, a lot of it is you're trying to anticipate what other players are going to play and sort of, stay one step ahead of them. You get a lot of an advantage if you can think about the characters that the other players are going to play and then play the counters to those. So that's definitely a big goal of mine. I also do digital games. I've done flash games, and I'm just about to release a mobile game. And for those, you can do a lot of really cool stuff, but one of the challenges is doing multiplayer and that kind of thing. And so it's really easy to do multiplayer with card games and board games. And so that's where that's really what I focus on when I'm trying to do an interesting new board game.
Okay, so I've got to ask, since you're kind of a digital game designer, any plans or hints at a Shadow Throne app in the future?
That's a good question. I don't have any exact plans. However, the game definitely could work as an app, or at least as, there's a number of different websites out there that are set up to run board games. One that comes to mind is Board Game Arena. The game very much could work as something like that, because while you can get a lot of sort of like talking, table talk and that kind of thing, you don't need it at all to make the game work. No plans, but definitely a possibility. We'll kind of see where things go.
So just looking at the art style of Shadow Throne, it really draws you into the game. It's very gritty and very dramatic. Can you share a little bit about the art process you kind of went through and what kind of inspired whatever kind of gave you the idea for the artwork for the game?
Well, I wish I could claim the art as my own, but alas, I don't quite have that skill. I am working with a couple of great artists. The graphic designer is the same guy who helped me out a lot for Corporate America. He goes by Slim Mittens, and he's a good friend who lives in the Bay Area here with me.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing a lot of the work on the graphic design, title treatment, all that kind of stuff. The card templates, mm-hmm. Just these beautiful banners. He's the one who's been doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he also introduced me to Jesse Perotti, who is the illustrator for the game. And he's mm-hmm. the one who's done this like really gritty, really atmospheric mm-hmm. art mm-hmm. for the different characters, which really just, you know, it brings the game to life, and I mean, it's amazing how much good art will sort of draw people in and get mm-hmm. their imaginations mm-hmm. going. And the, you know, from the beginning, the game has been sort of gritty. It's Machiavellian. It is, you know, the players are supposed to be kind of ruthless. They're supposed to not really care about these people that they're messing with. And mm-hmm. I think that the art style, which is very dark, it's very sort of jagged lines, and it almost looks like an old pulp novel or an old graphic novel or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It really brings that sort of feeling to the forefront and kind of gets people in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
As far as how he came up with it, you know, I just he knew that how the game worked. We talked a lot about sort of the setting that we were going for, and then he sort of just started experimenting with different styles and mm-hmm. Just kind of came up with this one on his own. He's a very talented artist and mm-hmm. can do all sorts of different stuff. So I'm mm-hmm. really glad that he came up with something that's so stylistic and gripping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting when you hear about when you're designing games and stuff, that this component seems to be such a big thing as the artwork. I mean, it certainly draws me in, and that how much really good game designers really pay attention to that, and that's kind of the thing that tips you know over, because it's just that eye candy or whatever, you know. And if the game's even, you know, is really good on top of it, boy, I mean, you just kind of nail the thing that way, don't you?
Yeah. I think one of the things that I've learned from doing these Kickstarters and getting the word out about games, trying to tell people about games, is that it's really hard to tell people about how a game plays.
Mm-hmm,
Certainly through text, even through video. Mm-hmm. It's really hard because a game is a dynamic system, and
right.
it's something that you experience yourself, and it's really hard to sort of get that experience across.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, you provide some atmospheric art, something to show you kind of what you're going to be feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a really great way of capturing people's attention and mm-hmm. communicating really concisely kind of what people are going to be getting themselves into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like the little magic hook that I don't think a lot of people really think about, you know, because I know for me, when I'm looking at something, mm-hmm. that's, like you said, it's true that you don't know how the game's played. You can't really get a grasp of that. But, man, if you've got great artwork and you focus on that, that's going to mm-hmm. immediately draw your people in. And then they're going to look at it and go, oh, this looks cool. And then you've already piqued the interest. So it seems to me that's the really good Kickstarters. That's what they're focusing on, you know, and that seems to be the hook that pulls everybody in.
Yeah, I definitely think that's essential. I think it's... You know, it's something that, from my perspective as a designer, I definitely come from a very mechanical, the mechanical side of things. And so mm-hmm. that's kind of been the most important thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But realizing how important the other side is, mm-hmm. the artistic side and the feeling side, mm-hmm. That's been a very valuable lesson that I've been sort of learning mm-hmm. over the past several years as I've been doing this more and more seriously.
Right. And I think it sets like the atmosphere up, like you mentioned that or whatever. And I think that's such a key thing, because I think a lot of people play the games not only because they're fun, but I think a lot of us, you know, myself included, it's this escape, you know, that you're looking for, mm-hmm. this step into something different. I get to pretend to be something, or whatever is the draw. The imaginative process, you know, is mm-hmm. what hooks you into the game. So, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, ultimately the mechanics should be creating something like that for the players anyway. So if you are able to align the art style and the mechanics, well, then the art is doing a good job of explaining what the game is going to be like.
Exactly. So. Cool. Great.
So speaking of mechanics and kind of twisting the conversation over to the side here, I kind of want to talk about that $20,000 stretch goal.
Yeah,
I'm super excited for the as-yet-unnamed expansion to potentially see light. The potential to kind of mash up these factions that are fighting for control of the throne and have a different game every time is really exciting to me. 10 days out, 11 days out, I haven't checked the kick track to see where you're trending. So, first of all, talk to me a little bit about that expansion. And second of all, is that something that's going to be available for purchase later? I know it's going to be an add-on when we hit the 20,000 in the campaign, but is that something that, you know, potentially later in a store someone can pick up Shadow Throne and then a week later go, I need more of this, and pick up insert expansion name here?
Well, you know, so I can't say for sure what the expansion name is going to be called, but it's looking like it'll probably be Shifting Shadows. So we can go with that for now. So I guess first I'll talk about what the expansion is and sort of like where it comes from. And then I'll kind of get into the future of the expansion and what will happen with the Kickstarter and everything. So first of all, the game was actually designed right from the get-go to be modular. So the idea here was that you'd be able to easily switch out different factions to have a different experience every time. And in fact, I sort of came up with this game idea over a long weekend when I was out camping with some friends. And as we were driving to different locations, I was, jotting down all these notes. And I think I jotted down, like, I don't know, 9 different factions or something like that. So I had all these different ideas for possible directions to take it. Mm-hmm. And so very early on, I envisioned this game being something like a little bit like Dominion or like Smash Up, where it would be really easy to customize each experience to make it a little bit different. And so I've actually been testing the three factions that are planned for this expansion from the beginning. Not nearly as much as the three factions that come with the base game, but they've been sort of in rotation the whole time. And those factions are so the base game has the Empire, the Rebels, and the Church. And then the expansion has the Cultists, the Merchants, and the Order, with the Order kind of being like a little like mini secret society type thing. Mm-hmm. They have very different mechanics from the base game factions. And in a lot of ways, they kind of up the craziness level of the game and sort of take what the base game expansions or the base game factions are doing and then just like, you know, take it up to 11 or whatever. I'm really excited about the expansion too. I really hope we hit that stretch goal because I think it would be a lot of fun to get those out. So what is the future of the expansion? Well, if we don't hit that stretch goal, I'm not going to have the money to print the expansion. So I'm not sure about the future or the fate of the expansion at that point. However, the kind of nice thing is even if we don't hit that stretch goal, which, I'm not going to say that we're not going to do it, but we got a ways to go. So we'll see. I'm not banking on it happening. But it would be something that I would consider doing in the future as an additional Kickstarter to try to get that money to actually print it. It's much less expensive than printing the base game, but it's still, you know, anytime you're printing one of these things, it's not cheap to do. I've definitely been learning how to make it more and more cheap as I've been actually doing it, but it's tough to get those prices down. So it is definitely something that I would consider doing probably early next year. I probably wouldn't do the Kickstarter until the base game was actually released and in people's hands, so more people would be aware of it. And then more people would be actually starting to play it with their friends and stuff. One of the sort of tricky things with expansions is you know, you gotta make sure that there's people out there that actually want it, that that are willing to buy it and are interested in it. And the total population that could do that is limited by who has the base game. So I want to make sure that people have the base game and they like the base game before I you know, take another plunge like this. So yeah, we'll see. I'm still hoping that that stretch goal gets hit. That would be really awesome. I do think that the expansion really adds a lot to the game. So
that's really interesting, Teal. I mean, you kind of point that out because it seems to me, you know, a lot of games now, there's always expansions that go with everything. I mean, it's just some expansion, which I think is totally fine. You know, people want those sorts of things, but I think you made a great point there that you know, it doesn't make sense to maybe put one out there if you don't have a base that, you know, really wants to play it or really likes it enough or whatever it is. And I think sometimes some games, you know, it winds up that I think they're fine as it is in some cases, you know, and that the game's really solid and sometimes they don't really need it. So it's just kind of funny. It's a kind of a funny conundrum sometimes you get wound up in. But I think there's a great way to approach it by just saying, hey, I don't want to do that unless I've got the player base that really wants to play it, because it doesn't make any sense to make it in that sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's important to be realistic about that kind of thing. I think that, you know, expansions are exciting. And so, you know, a lot of designers want to do that. That's exciting. It's a sign of success and stuff. But it's important to realize that it's, you know, it comes with costs as well. So it's not like a free ride or something like that.
Exactly. I don't think a lot of people really think about that stuff sometimes. You know, they're like, oh, well, does it have an expansion? I want it to have an expansion, you know, and there's other factors that are involved in that sometimes. So, yeah, cool.
Well, I can tell you, it turns out that after reading that backer update, if I shove money at the screen, Kickstarter doesn't know that I want to increase my pledge level, so.
I think they're working on that right now, actually.
Shh, you saw nothing.
Great. So, Teal, I just want to kind of ask you, so how has this Kickstarter campaign differed from your first Corporate America? I know you talked about it a little bit earlier here in the interview, but, you know, what's been kind of different about this one compared to that one?
So I think one of the biggest differences for me was, you know, when I was working on Corporate America, I thought it was going to be like a manageable game. I thought it was going to be a relatively small game, but I didn't really know a lot of the logistics of making board games. And so it ended up being a little bit bigger than I expected and a little bit more expensive than I expected. And the goal for that project was quite high. It was like $20,000 was the base goal for that game, and I just barely squeaked by. And so that taught me a lot that, you know, you really need to make these games manageable in scope, and make sure that they're not super expensive for customers to buy, and make sure that they're not super expensive to produce. So that's been one of the big goals for Shadow Throne and really all the games that I've been working on since Corporate America, of which there are a few others. Just making sure that the game is small, the game is compact. You know, obviously, it's important to me that there's still a ton of gameplay, but you don't necessarily need, like, you know, four decks of cards like there are in Corporate America in order to have like a really engaging experience. So I think that's been one of the big differences, is that the scope of this game is much smaller. And that's actually one of the reasons. I mean, I think I'm probably following a pretty similar funding curve that I did for Corporate America in terms of how much money I've raised. But you can imagine now, for Shadow Throne, it's like almost 9,000 with a week and a half to go. Well, if it was almost 9,000 with a week and a half ago for Corporate America, you know, I still needed more than double what I had here, and that was really stressful.
Right.
I've tried to make it so this game is a little bit, the sights are a little bit lower, so you know, I don't have to go through that same mental anguish that I did during Corporate America.
Right. Yeah, so a learning experience, obviously, you know, from first one to this one, you know, and I imagine that's kind of the case, as you kind of get, you know, your feet wet in these things, you kind of learn what to do and what not to do, I suppose.
And the other thing is, you know, I have a little bit of a bigger base. I can reach more people this way, and I know a little bit better about how to communicate with people through the updates and that kind of thing, which I was really sort of figuring out as I went along for corporate America. Mm-hmm. I mean, you always have to do that a little bit. You always have to experiment and that kind of thing. And so one of the examples for Shadow Throne that we talked about a little earlier is the I'm letting the backers come up with the name for the expansion and then vote on it, which has been a really fun thing. People came up with some awesome ideas, and a lot of people have been engaged with it. So it's just it's a fun way to get involved, you know. And that's one of the really cool things about Kickstarters, I think, is they give everybody a chance to sort of take ownership of the the project.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the appeal for a lot of people too. You know, that stuff seems to do so well in many cases, is that, you know, like, oh, cool, I was part of this game, and, you know, I got to help in it or something. And that's always a cool thing, because then that comes to be a talking point sometimes when you're sitting around with people like, oh, by the way, you know, I helped with this thing, with this game, and it just kind of helps sells it with your friends, and, you know, then it can just expand from there. So it's kind of neat. It makes it more of a community-based sort of thing, which is really cool.
Yeah, and I think the internet is really good for that. You know, mm-hmm. it's really good for bringing people together who, you know, maybe geographically far apart, but are, mm-hmm. you know, interest-wise very close and are excited about the same sort of things. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's been a really fun experience. I mean, I think that's one of the most rewarding things, is meeting a lot of really cool people, and sort of getting to know people all over the place.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So our listeners are some pretty cool people, and I know that I'm very good at spending Vel's money.
Yes, she is.
So I guess my question for you is, how can our listeners help get you funded? Obviously, shoving money through the computer screen and backing the campaign is one way, but how else can they give you a hand?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, backing is great. Participating is also great. You know, leaving a comment, and of course, sharing it with your friends. One actually big difference between Shadow Throne and Corporate America is, for Shadow Throne, I have a free print and play available for anybody who'd like it. So if you are really sort of on the fence about the game, or if you want to help the game out, you can print a copy out and give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to tell that the game is solid. You know, you're not going to get all of that great art with the print and play, but you'll get a great idea of how the game plays out. And then, you know, you're going to be showing your friends about it too. So the more people that see it, the better. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. If you don't have a printer, or you don't have the patience to make a printed play, which, you know, I don't blame you. The game isn't huge, but it'll take an hour or two of work to get that in working order. Well, then you can also just share. There's some really great reviews out there of the game that show how the game plays and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, just post that to Facebook or Twitter or whatever your social network of choice is, and let your friends who are interested in that kind of thing know about it. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that's actually one of the things that I'm still very much learning about, is how to get the word out, you know, how to get the game in front of people who would like the game. Mm-hmm. Because I really do think a lot of people would love it, but it's hard to reach those people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you
know, mm-hmm. if you have a friend that you think would enjoy the game, just, you know, let them know about it. Mm-hmm. Send them a link, or send them a video, or play the print and play with them, or whatever. But just let them know that it's out there.
Right. So, yeah, so it's just essentially talking. You know, kind of spread the word,
yeah.
and that kind of thing, which
exactly.
is what you're trying to do, obviously. So, yeah, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Teal, we have to ask you this. I don't know if you knew this was coming, but we always do the little throw you under the bus kind of thing. It's never mean, but
okay.
We, you know, we are a board games and beer podcast. So I'm sure our listeners, myself included, will like to know, what beer goes with Shadow Throne? What's the choice?
Oh, man. So can I give you a brewery that
yeah,
would
that
go well with it?
Certainly
absolutely.
Works. Absolutely
okay.
works. That absolutely works.
All right. So, you know, I mentioned this because my brother is actually a brewer. He,
cool.
Yeah, he is working for a up-and-coming brewery in Spokane, Washington called No Lie. They, you know, They are not widely distributed at this point, but they have some excellent beers. I would highly recommend basically any of their mm-hmm. any of their line. If I had to choose, it would probably be an IPA. But okay. I think that they've got plenty of other good stuff too.
Okay.
That would be my answer to that one.
Cool. See, you didn't even think about it. We get people on here all the time. They say they're not beer experts, and they just rattle something off immediately without any thought. So, you know, we're all much better at this than we imagine. See.
Yeah. Well, I usually defer to my brother. So yeah. I'll.
Yeah. There you go. Safety net. It's always good thing. Yeah, it's not supposed to be painful, though. I mean, it's just, you know, we're just talking about beer. I mean, something you drink, makes you feel good. It tastes good, usually, if you like it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's not supposed to be, like, painful, like you're drinking rat poison or something. Like, well, what rat poison goes with my game? Well, let's see. It's not like that.
The kind that goes unnoticed into someone else's drink. It's Shadow Thrown, after all.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That's not a bad one.
That's awesome.
All right.
I think you're going to be really good at this game.
Yeah, and that reminds me, I don't know if I want to play with her.
Oh, we have to play.
You just got to wait for the digital version. So yeah. Make sure that there's a little bit of distance.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can run. Drop the iPad.
I was physically going to carry the knife.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was going to hire somebody to carry it for me.
Ooh, even more devious.
Yeah. All right, Teal, I've had a great time talking to you today. I'm sure Vel has as well. How can our listeners reach you? How can they get a hold of you, see more about your games?
Feel free to check out my website. That is nothingsacredgames.com. I blog semi-regularly. I used to blog a little more regularly. I talk about design. I talk about the projects I'm working on. I talk about sort of the business side of things. And, you know, I'm really happy to talk to people about any of those things, answer questions, start conversations. So, you know, feel free to check out the website, nothingsacredgames.com. Mm-hmm. I'm also active on Twitter and Facebook, so you can look up Nothing Sacred Games on Facebook, or the Twitter handle is Nothing Sacred G. Couldn't quite fit the whole games in there, mm-hmm. So you can reach me through that as well. And then if you happen to be in the Bay Area, I'm a semi-regular at Endgame in Oakland, and I make appearances at It's Your Move in Oakland and Games of Berkeley. I'm always happy to, meet up with people and play games. So, yeah, feel free to reach out to me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great. So is there anything else that you'd you feel like you'd want to share with us or whatever?
Nothing in particular. I just, like to really thank you guys for having me. It's been a great conversation. It's been a great time talking to you guys. So thank you.
Okay. Well, it's great having you on the show. And like I said, let's give Teal a hand here and push this thing through. We want to get this game into people's hands because it sounds fun. And you're missing out if you don't. So if you haven't got on and funded this thing, get out and fund this. We want to see this game go through because I want to play it. I want it in my hands. And I know Morgan does too.
I needed this game yesterday. Like I said on Twitter, you had me at Machiavellian.
Yep, easy sell. It was an easy sell. Awesome. I really want to... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, I'm just thanking you again.
Yep, and I really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule and whatever to give a little bit of time to talk to us about your game, and we really, really enjoyed it. So anyway, anything else, Morgan, before we kind of roll on out of here? Okay, well, anyway... we will be talking to people on our next episode of the Board Games and Beer Podcast. And once again, I really want to welcome Teal for joining us from Nothing Sacred Games to talk about Shadow Throne. Okay, so we're back after that interview. I thought that was really, I really enjoyed talking to him. And he's super close to making it. So if you haven't got on that, you got 5 days. He's almost there. Let's shove him over the edge and get that one into our hands because it looks really cool. Particularly if you
shove him over the edge, but in a nice way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It was push him over the edge so he makes it. I wasn't going to push him off of a cliff or anything. Yeah, that kind of sounded wrong, didn't it? I'm pretty good at that, though. Put your foot in your mouth. It's taken years of practice. I've gotten to be a pro at that skill. It's taken a long time to perfect it. So if you ever want to learn how to do it, contact me and I will I can give you lots of good tips on how to put your foot in your mouth, because I'm very good at doing it. So anyway, why don't we better talk about some beer. What do you think there, Morgan?
Oh, so going from putting your foot in your mouth to me putting you under a bus.
Yes, exactly. So, see, it's always good. See how it is? I told you. I told you it was, it's inevitable. You just keep the ball rolling. Might as well keep talking. I mean, I've got 2 feet, so I mean, and I can, I can just alternate left foot, right foot, and mix it up. Anyway, so we're now in our beer and game segment. So what beer goes with a select game? So we are going to pick, because I think it's going to fit with our Back in the Vault segment here, which we will get to here in a bit. Our beer of the segment is going to be Attribution, which is from where? Is
that located? That would be Zytham Brewing Company.
Okay. And where are these guys located? They are in what?
Washington, Fairfield, Washington.
Fairfield, Washington. All the cool breweries up there, it looks like. It looks like they've got, so it says it's a dark porter, smoked coffee, chocolate, and leather flavors. I don't know if I like the leather flavors in there. I don't know about you. Oh, so you're into eating leather.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Yeah, I know. I just got like,
if you want to go there, I'm not stopping you. But I'm just going to sit here with my hands off of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like camp coffee, only it's beer. I don't know the smoke, I guess, and the coffee and the chocolate, but I just like the leather. I don't know. I've never seen that. And I don't know with a beer, but anything with flavoring, just doesn't sound very appealing to me. Not really dishing on that. I mean, I'd have to try it or whatever, but like leather would not be something that would, I would like, oh yeah, that sounds really tasty. So anyway, I guess this one's named for their brother-in-law who came up with the recipe, and as it have it, atra is the Latin word for black. Attribution. I kind of get it. I like the way they spell it, stuff like that. So that is our beer of the week, and that's actually going to fit with what we'll probably go on to in the vault segment. So anyway, we might as well have some fun here, Morgan. So here we go, chucking me under the bus.
All right, so I'll be gracious. I'll let you take the first shot.
I get to take the first shot. So remember, this is our little segment where Morgan and I play our little game where we pick a game and you got to pick a beer that goes with it. So the first game I'm going to throw at you, I'm going to kind of make things a little easier and stick with things that we've talked about. So it might make things a little easier. So I'm going to go with Bears.
Can I go with Bears?
Bears. Huh? They have the dice game that we talked about a little bit earlier.
What will go with Bears? Well, it's got to be something kind of cold and kind of hibernate-y. Something probably with a little bit of honey.
Yep. I would say that's probably would be a really good choice.
And I'm going to have to take a minute here because my brain just froze. Ow. I can't believe you stumped me with Bears.
Oh, I could think of some stuff. I've got some things I'm already thinking of. Something with honey in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of honey beers. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to go something like a honey ale or something like that, or maybe even just a straight mead.
Yep, there you go. Let's see, that'll work.
Yeah, definitely.
Something sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, so I got you.
With the Bears chase again.
Yep, see, I got you a little bit on that one. I didn't think that would be so hard.
But you see, the trick to outrunning a bear isn't to actually outrun the bear. The trick to outrunning a bear is to be faster than your friend.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Alrighty. Let me see here. You said you played it at least once. You're giving it away on Play to Win, so you should be at least vaguely familiar. What beer goes with Euphoria? What
beer goes with Euphoria? Oh, let's see. What are we going to do here? Kind of a funny one. I don't know how that's going to fit, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with a... I'm really going to dig myself in a hole. How about Streaking the Quad? There's actually a beer called that.
Okay.
So, euphoric. I don't know. It's really being odd there, but I'm going to go with Streaking the Quad. It's actually a name of a beer. I don't know how euphoric that is, but It's kind of the first thing that came to me. So, okay, here we go. Let's see. How about Camel Up, which is the one that I was talking about earlier? Some camel thing.
Let's see here. Beer to go with Camel Up. That's one of those prestigious nominees as well. It's got to be something kind of dry, kind of little bit deserty.
Something deserty, yep.
Ooh, I know.
Okay.
There is a King Cobra malt out there.
Okay, that would work. Yeah, cobras and
yeah
stuff with the camels. Yep, see, we're trying to make it.
Well, you said there were pyramids, therefore it's Egypt. It's thematic. It counts.
Yep, it does. See, it works. We can make it fit. We can make it fit. Okay, I'm ready for the next one.
All right. Well, you took the game I was going to throw at you, since you've had the pleasure of playing it and I haven't yet.
Okay. Oh, that was the one you were going to pick.
Yep.
Oh.
So, let's go with something a little more stompy, a little more smashy. What beer goes with Rampage?
With Rampage.
You've played it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I like it. Okay. That's a super fun game. Yeah, I like that one a lot. Oh, God, there's some weird stuff. I don't know if this one's going to do. I'm going to reach here. I'm going to go because I'm going to do a really far King Kong stretch here.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Donkey Punch.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Thinking Donkey Kong, you know, the ape in it and, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to go with Donkey Punch. Or Donkey Punch. Seasonal. It's got honey in it.
There we go.
Okay. Oh, so it's me, isn't it? Okay. How about Pillars of the Earth?
Ooh. All right. Let's go for something just a little bit local here. Since Pillars is very... It's very thematic. Let's go with a Boulevard. Let's go with the Harvest Dance Wheat Wine that they put out.
Okay, that works. That works.
Now I have to throw one more board game at you.
Yep.
What curveball can I throw? Oh, I know, since the season finale just happened a week back or 2 weeks back. What beer goes with the Game of Thrones board game?
Well, I got one for that already. How about Druid Fluid?
Okay.
Yep. That's definitely a Middle Ages thematic kind of sound to it, I think. I don't think there's really druids in that, but I'm going to go with Druid Fluid. That was easy. Middle Ages, Druid Fluid. Barley Wine, too. Oh, Barley Wine's good stuff. That's what it's called. It's called Middle Ages, Druid Fluid, Barley Wine. That's my choice.
All right.
I like that one. Cool. Yeah, little bit of stumping today, but I think we got through it.
My brain froze a moment there. Yeah,
that's
that was
right.
Not good.
That's kind of the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea. They're trying to stump the other one so that they can't think of something or whatever. So anyway, that's gonna wind up our little beer segment, beer and game segment. So anyway, why don't we head off into our last little segment here, Morgan, and go back in the vault. So I'm just about as tired as you are, I think.
Okay.
You know, you had your little, sounds like a little bug battle yesterday in the park. I'm a little tired from that, and I'm a little tired as well. So why don't we hire some help here to, maybe we'll get a couple little goblins or something and have them run over here and open this drawbridge for us. What do you think? Sound like a plan?
Just tell them to watch out for the door afterwards.
Yeah.
They'll probably get squished.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you guys, get over here and get this door open. Let's go. Pull, 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 pull. Let's go. Let's go.
Come on,
let's go.
Let's get back to it.
Exactly. Come on. Yeah, we're good. We're good. Good leaders, hopefully. Anyway, so welcome to Back in the Vault. This is a discussion. We look back at old games that maybe still be around, but most likely there's something that's out of print that kind of got a lot of things going. So, our Back in the Vault game for this week is the game Circus Maximus. So I don't know if you're familiar with this one, Morgan, but and then obviously our beer for this week from this brewery that we talked about earlier. Attribution, I think, fits with that. Kind of got a – tried to go a little bit Roman-themed mm-hmm. or whatever as best as we can. So,
hey, did you know that Zythum Brewing is actually – Zythum is Latin for beer?
Yep, that is.
We went entirely thematic.
Yes, exactly. So we're perfect. We are dead on with this. We got a beer. We got the game that goes with it. We got the attribution that goes with it. So we can already say that's the beer that's going to go with this game. So we don't have to discuss that. So anyway, I don't know if you've ever had your hands on this particular game, but one of my favorites. I had played it a lot, or quite a few times, you know, years and years ago, and it was actually through somebody else. So I never originally had a copy, and I finally got my hands on a copy of it. But anybody's not really familiar with it, it's a chariot racing game.
Okay.
Kind of in the gladiator combat kind of thing. It's actually two games. So it's chariot race game where you pick your team of horses, a driver, and a chariot car. They all got special characteristics and everything. And then there's also a gladiator one where you pick up weapons and step into bloodstained sand, simultaneously maneuvering, striking, and waiting for fatal step that puts you inside the opponent's guard. Anyway, it was developed by Don Greenwood and published by Avalon Hill Games in 1980. It was also actually, I think, even put out as two separate games, Circus Maximus and Gladiator, but you can actually get them in both. Super fun game. If you like that kind of thing, had a lot of neat mechanics. So basically, each person, this is one of those ones that's really fun with a lot of people.
Okay.
I believe it's up to about eight that you can play it with, and everybody gets a chariot and horses, and you get some abilities with them and everything, and you have to race around this track, but they've got all these really fun mechanics about how the strain and the horses and the way they work, and I mean, you can go by the other players, and you can whip their horses. I don't know why you'd want to do that. You can whip the other players. And, of course, you take the things too hard and you bust the wheels off the thing. And, of course, you're out of the race. And they've got a campaign thing in it where you can kind of keep going and you bet and you get money. And super cool, kind of a clever game. I was just going to read a couple of the reviews on it that I thought were really cool that I really, really agreed with. But one reviewer mentioned, "The grand old man of those horsing games, only more violent. What's not to love about this venerable old title? Crashing wheels into your competitors, trying to whip the driver blind while taking the corners at breakneck speeds. It's got everything." The other one, "Hands down, the most fun multiplayer war game I've ever played. The betting and cheating options," that's what I always thought was fun, "are great for extra multiplayer fun. Lost years ago in a flood." This one, he says, "A note, I'm a war gamer. I love this game. But I think there's at least 2 to 3 other lighter versions of this game around that most board gamers may find more accessible. Although I think this is just kind of the granddaddy of them as far as that goes. I had so much fun playing this game. And I'd recommend if you can get your hands on a copy of it. Let's take a look here and see if we can kind of see what this thing's going for. I don't know. We'll just take a little... little quick
doesn't
look here.
Doesn't look that bad in the Board Game Geek Marketplace.
No, it doesn't. And I don't know. I just if you like stuff like that, I mean, it's got two sets of rules. So it depends how I always like these kind of games. So you could kind of pick how into it you wanted to get, right? So the basic set of rules are pretty simple. I mean, they're not too hard to get your head around. There's a little bit of I always kind of like that. There's a little bit of math and some calculating stuff that went on with some of these, but it was still fun because there's all the strategy I'd involve, as you were racing around this track. God, it was just so fun where you're just like, oh, I'm going to lose. So we always got those people that they were going to lose. So what they did, they just chased people down and whipped the crap out of them with their whips and, just totally mess with the other play, other players type of game that was really, really fun. Like I said, once again, one of these ones I think that kind of led in. It might be a little too heavy for some people at some point, but I don't know. If you like Roman-themed things and chariot racing and stuff like that, this thing was dynamitely done, and I'd highly recommend getting your hands on a copy of it if you can. You can somehow find it. What do they have? What do they got that thing going for? I'm just going to take a look here, really. See if I can find any of them here.
Depends on what condition you want.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true.
I would say, because looks like brand new starting around 75, but very good or like new, you can find as cheap as about $30.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing too. Like, I've got a few here. I'm seeing it anywhere. Like, I've seen, there's some partially unpunched ones here for $50. There's another one here, unpunched, for $25. Wow. And then there's another one. This one's unpunched for $48. Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, and there's quite a few copies of it lying around there. So, yeah, you can get your hands on this one. It's not bad. It's even in some magazines and stuff like that. But, yeah, that's a cool game. I really, really like it. And that's actually, I know for one that once we get a chance to fit it in there, one of the meetup groups we do is, you know, is learn a new board game, but it was kind of my idea. Let's learn a new board game, old school style. And this is one of the ones that's on the list that I know we've got some people that are, I've kind of told them about it, and they're like, oh God, that sounds kind of like fun. And I go, yeah, it is. It's awesome. It's super fun. I mean, just very, very entertaining. Tons of replayability to it as well, even though it's, you know, it's an older game. And there's some good copies of it still floating around. Like I said, that in that one review, that I know they've done some other thematic stuff on it, but I don't know if you can kind of outdo this one. So that's a good game. You got to get that one.
This is really venerable. Looks like back in the day, like designers like Alan Moon were writing articles about this thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yep. So, you know, if you want a good old one, Morgan, and I don't know if that theme sounds kind of appealing to you, but that is really a cool, fun game that I'd highly recommend.
I don't think my Latin teacher in high school would have let us play it.
In a great way. Yeah, that would have been cool. You could really teach some cool stuff in class. You'd probably get kids probably interested in history or something a little bit more, I would think. No, because there's a lot of math, and it's got all kinds of neat tie-ins with it. History, math, science, I mean, I suppose, if you really want to stretch, you know, or whatever. So, cool. Yeah, and of course, like they said, I don't know if you've looked at some of the stuff, but I know at some of the cons and stuff, I've seen some people, like, redoing this thing or whatever, but there have been some people that have taken the board and actually built a three-dimensional, you know, velodrome or whatever the heck that they did the racing in 3D.
Oh, that's awesome.
With the stands and everything, and I have just seen some amazing stuff. And I mean, there's some people that have made lead miniatures for this stuff, and it's just super cool. You know, I know there's been some, I think like Gen Con and stuff like that, I've seen some pictures of people bringing this, and it's just amazing, some of the stuff they've done, some remakes of the boards and stuff like that, and some people put some interesting stuff on there that made it look a lot better than some of the stuff that it came with. So if you're really into that, I mean, you could even turn it into a miniatures game if you want. Cool. Any other things on that?
I think I'm good.
Okay. All right. So why don't we head off into kind of wrapping up the show here? So anyway, I would like to thank everybody for joining us, and stay tuned for our next show where we will have more game talk, beer, and of course interviews. And so, Morgan, how can people get a hold of us?
All right, you can get a hold of us on the web, bgbpodcast.com.
okay, and then you can also, our email is boardgamesandbeerpodcast@gmail.com,
and of course on the Twitter sphere, bgbpodcast_games.
Okay, and we can be found on iTunes and Stitcher. And then, Morgan, how can people get a hold of you?
If you're looking for me specifically, you can find me at ifyougiveagame.com. You can also find me on Twitter as @giveagame, as well as on, if you need to get a hold of me via email, ifyougiveagame@gmail.com.
Cool. Great. So any other real quick shout-outs here before we step on out the door here?
If you've got a Kickstarter, something launching soon, something that you want us to feature as far as in the pipeline goes, shoot us a tweet, send us an email, whatever you need. Just let us know. We can probably integrate it into the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
As well as just a reminder that our friends Lauren and Jamie Cunningham from Wibi Games do have Transylvania available for pre-order on their website if you missed that amazing Kickstarter.
Yep, absolutely. And that was going to kind of be my shout-out. So mine kind of goes to Crystal, who's doing the artwork for that game. So I don't know if you've seen, but they're kind of wrapping up the picture because I'm going to be in that. So cool. Oh, it's so awesome. That is so cool. I look really good in that, actually.
Yay!
So anyway, that's almost kind of wrapped up. So I'm kind of excited about that. And they nailed that thing. All the people that got in on the Kickstarter that got to do that stuff, I think you're all going to be super happy with what she winds up doing. And that's going to look really cool when that all gets finished. So I've seen a couple of the other ones and they look absolutely amazing. So that's my shout out. Here's to Crystal. They're just dynamite artists that's, you know, doing the artwork for them and really personalizing it and everything. And didn't make too much fun of some of my features, like my bald head and stuff like that. So I want to thank her for that because they gave me a hat, which is something I would have recommended anyway.
It's a very fancy hat.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay, so we're going to go on and step on out of here. So anyway, we will see everybody on the next show, and I will be talking to you too soon, Morgan. So see you later.
Take care, guys.